to 12:4, for this is the Pike's Peak of the book. And I wish I had time to read it, but now, if you start reading it, Hebrews 10:32, and then when you come close to 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, and read on through now, the entire 11th chapter, and then read through the 12th chapter, because he said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. In other words, like they did, let us also, he said, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How you can do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know, as I sit here, when I wrote this book, I made this statement. As I sit here and write this chapter, it looks to me like every door is closing. And this is the most unusual experience in my 26 years of preaching. And yet, inside there's a calm and a peace and an assurance. And my confidence in Jesus grows stronger every day. His grace I find sufficient to keep me in his way. When I'm sad and lonely, he is a friend. Indeed, he gives me grace and comfort in every time of need. And so he said, therefore, I said in this chapter, I cannot live under the circumstances or on what it looks like or seems like. That song keeps coming to me even in this trying time and testing time. The thing that you've prayed for is on its way and paid for. Oh, may God bless this chapter to my own soul as well as yours, for the sake of the cause and the many ministries God has given us. Now then, would you let me part just a minute with you? I need what I'm going to read. I need this message. I believe God's got something for me in this message right now. I believe that there is a fuller deliverance and a fuller blessing for me. Are you willing to look at it with me like that? Do you need something in your life that would help you to be an overcomer? Preacher, are you having a low tide in your ministry? I mean, does it really seem all dark and you're a little confused and you wonder why? And I tell you, I just hope right now that you join with me in faith, believing that God is going to take 30 things in this message and bring us out over on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. Will you believe that now? All right. Communism, Catholicism, denominationalism, modernism, with their feverish, futile, and fatal efforts, are trying to take the place of a vital faith in a living God. Education, organization, reformation, amalgamation, and unionization are just as hopeless. The peace parlors in United Nations conferences, the big talk of the National Council of Churches, are just as helpless as Ponce de Leon was in looking for the land of perpetual youth. Faith lives in the high tower. Paul said to the Ephesian church, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. That old four-star general who could prove his faith by his scars said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Faith was his crowning virtue. Even though he lost his head, he kept his faith and his heart. In the first place, let me say that faith is not wishing, wanting, trying, hoping, striving, or even waiting. Most of these are enemies of real Bible faith. Let me give you some 30 things that came to me this afternoon concerning faith. Are you ready? Number one, faith is real. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Spiritual substance is the evidence of the only things that are real. Ah, James said, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith is the stuff the real life's made out of. It's substance. Amen? It's evidence. And brother, if you've got enough substance, there's going to be some evidence. You put that down. Faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is real. Number two, faith is a gift. Oh, get that. Faith is a gift. You don't work it up. I mean, you don't go off to some little Fears meet and see and get it. You don't go to some place where something's happening and get your faith. You go to God. You go to the Word. Romans 12:3, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is a gift. You don't work for a gift. You just accept it. And God has measured to every man the measure of faith, the gift of faith. Brother, I live by his faith, not mine. I got saved on his faith. I've gotten kept by his faith. Jesus was saved. He didn't have to be saved, but he lived a saved life. And then he was kept. Well, I know the devil sought to kill him, destroy him, but he didn't. Number 3, faith is the life of Christ, Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. It's his faith. It's his faith. He gave it to me. Now then, if it's his faith, then it's his life. I live his life by his faith. I got saved by his faith. Therefore, I got his salvation. That's right. That's permanent. That's eternal. And that's comforting. That's maximum security. God does the saving, and he does the keeping, and the Holy Spirit does the sealing, and I live his life. Reason 4. Faith is the rope tied to the bucket of reality, dipping itself into the fullness of God. You know, the woman said, the well is deep, and thou hast nothing to draw with. Well, what she didn't know was she was looking at the well, because Jesus was the well. He was the well. And he was giving her water that would keep her from thirsting again ever. And I like that. Said, when you drink this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, it shall be in your well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Gave her living water. And sent her forth to tell. She went away singing. She came back bringing others to the water that was not from the well. Faith is the rope tied to the bucket of reality, dipping itself into the fullness of God. Number 5, faith is stepping when there's no place to step. For instance, like Moses. God said, Moses, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. And Moses said, Lord, in one place to step. Well, he said, that's where faith comes in. That's right. Like Moses at the Red Sea. He said, now you've got to speak. In other words, you don't just push them off in the water. When commanded of the Lord to go forward, he just said, all right, we're going forward. I always like the story of the sweet old colored man who was chided because of his great faith in God. And someone said, I guess if God told you to jump through that brick wall, you'd jump. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, I surely would. But he said, you mean it'd make a fool? No. He said, it's my responsibility to jump, and it's God's responsibility to make a hole in the wall. Amen. Brother, why don't you just go ahead and jump? Take the step by faith. I know it's a drastic move. I know it's a big step, and you just don't know how to do it or what to do. Reason 6 said, and definition 6 is, faith is victory. Faith is victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5, this is, not was, this is. Didn't say this shall be, this is. Brother, you have faith, you got the victory right now. You'd say, Brother Wolf, doesn't look to me like you've got the victory. Is that right? Brother, I've kept the victory, and the victory keeps me, because that's faith. You'd say, but you've been to jail. I know it, but I had the victory when I went into jail, and I didn't lose it in jail. I got the victory. I had the victory when I came out. I traveled with the victory. I'm fixing to leave for I guess, 1,500 miles in the plane. And then I've got to come back all the way to the East Coast from the West Coast in one day and have some meetings and so forth. My dear friends, you see, things and environment and circumstances and hard times are good times will not make you lose the faith. Faith is the victory. You got the victory on the inside because you have faith on the inside. You get the victory out of the book because victory comes from the Word of God, you see. Faith comes to hearing, hearing with the Word of God, so you've got to have the Word of God. Oh, I wish I could get you to see it. There's no way to live by faith except by the Word of God. What faith living is, just Bible living, that's all. Now then, number seven. Faith is living the overcoming life. Who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth, that is. He's got to believe. And then, number eight, faith is more forceful than fire. Jesus became the fourth man in the fire for the Hebrew children, and they came out without smell of smoke. You think the fire hurt him? Not a bit. You think the fire destroyed him? Not a bit. And dear friends, that old songwriter said, when through fire trials, thy pathway shall lie. My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume thy and thy gold to refine. Oh, are you ready? The soul that owns Jesus hath leaned for repose. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Brother, how's your faith today? Faith is more forceful than fire. Number nine, faith is the key to the lion's jaws. It delivered Daniel without a scratch. The lions couldn't hurt him. Why? Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself by eating the king's meat nor drinking the king's wine. Are you listening? Daniel wasn't afraid. Daniel refused to stop his prayer, and they passed the law, you know. They really passed the law. It was an ungodly law. It was a Christless law. It was a Bibleless law. It was a law against the law. Why, he believed in freedom of religion and praying, and he thought he ought to be able to go to his house and room and open the windows, pray in time he got ready, and he did. But they passed the law and said, Daniel, I guess you know, there's a law passed against praying. He said, it wouldn't make a lot of difference to me. Well, they said, you certainly wouldn't be a lawbreaker, would you? And I imagine they put the same argument and said, you know, a great man of God ought not to break the law. You ever heard that? Oh, these little Casper milk toasts and these little self-righteous things that run around this country doing nothing except meddling and harassing and getting into other people's business. It's getting the job done for God. And they said, well, he's a lawbreaker. But number 10, faith is the power to destroy the walls of Jericho. You don't think that they jarred him down, do you? I know there's a lot of Israelites, and they looked awful silly to me. I mean, powerfully stupid looking to me for just march around the walls. Nobody had been able to penetrate those walls. Nobody had ever been able to tear those walls down. Why, they tell me that two big carriages with four horses in front of them abreast, that would be eight horses and two carriages, could ride on that wall at one time. I mean, right side by side. Well, that's a big wall, wasn't it? Somebody did a lot of work, and you know what's happening? A bunch of little Israelites marching around, every day, once a day, and then on Sunday, day, seven times. And well, that's a pretty long haul that time, isn't it? You know, they had to be in shape because they'd been walking through the wilderness. I know one thing, the American people didn't get the wall down if they had to walk around anything. I mean, walk around the block seven times, they'd never make it. And the average American, he's so out of shape until he couldn't walk anywhere. Number 11, faith is the road to the city, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Abraham must have become the laughing stock of his neighbors and friends and business associates, and yet faith justified him as we see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He certainly had found the city. Brother, faith is the road to the city. I mean the city and celestial. Number 12, faith became deliverance for the millions of Israelites without a shot being fired and with only one casualty. And that cost Moses a sentence of 40 years in the wilderness. You know, faith never uses force or the flesh or pressure. It works altogether by spiritual laws and principles. That's the reason it is so despised and misunderstood by the world. Faith scarcely makes the headlines with man.
but it makes the who's who of heaven. Yes, faith brought deliverance. Faith is seeing the unseen, the invisible. Moses, by faith, saw him who is invisible. It looks like everything is in the very grip of the picture show hour and the scene time now. And so you say, well, I'm going to live by faith. I don't have to see. I just need to believe. And that's what Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, the man said, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The thing that got Eve was when she saw. The thing that precipitated the flood when the sons of God saw. The thing that wrecked Achan was when he saw. He lusted and he took. That's right, he looked, lusted, and took. The thing that knocked David from the pinnacle of power was when he saw Bathsheba. The thing that brought about a broken-hearted Moses, when the people cried to Aaron for a God they could see. Oh, how could so much junk crawl up in our homes and churches to blind the eye of faith and to dishonor God? You know my biggest accusation against television? It's a seeing program. Everything's a show. Everything's a show. My radio friends, many times, I mean my announcers say, well, what time's your show? I said, I don't have a show. It's a program. It's a service. 14. Faith is endurance. He endured, amen, as seeing him who is invisible. I had to see him by faith. Faith made him endure. Number 15, faith is the opposite of fear. The parents of Moses were not afraid because they had faith. They were not afraid of the king's commandments. Well, that's law. They broke the law, didn't they? Why? Because God told them to take care of Moses. He's the deliverer. And the law had already been passed. I mean, they'd passed the law a month to murder every male baby. And that's about what's happened. We're murdering children instead of rescuing them. 16. Faith is pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, amen, faith is. When is it? Right now. Now, faith is. Brother, it's time for God's people to just go ahead and start living by faith. You don't have to wait. Start now. You don't have to try to improve or get better. You just need to start now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes Jesus current with your problems. Why? Because it brings him up right now. Faith makes him a today Savior. And heaven. He's a God close up, not far off. He's right here now. Why, he said, where two or three get together, there am I. Just two or three. He said, if two of you agree as touching anything on earth that you may ask, why, he said, it will be done of my Father, which is in heaven. If you can just agree, see, as touching anything on earth. Number 17, faith is by believing. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, Romans 10:8. Faith is by believing. That's what it is. In other words, it just puts you over in a spiritual gear and you just start walking with the Lord. And God begins to work through you and in you, and that's the way it is. May not have a big show-off. Fact is, I don't think faith ever has a big show-off because it just shows Jesus, see? And when you show Jesus, you're hated for that. Faith doesn't have a big display. No, sir. Faith doesn't ever say, look what I'm doing, brother. Faith is just sort of like cologne. You can smell it, but you can't see it. Amen? Faith is salvation. By grace are you saved? Through church membership? No, no. Baptism? No, no. Through works? No, no. Through faith. By grace are you saved through faith? And that matters. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the Christian's keeping power, who are kept through the power of God. Amen. Now get this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. See, we're kept by the power, but the way he does it is through faith. You've got to believe. Faith is the Christian's keeping power, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Number 20, faith is the hand and arm that's reaching after the garment of God for certain healing. The woman for 12 years had exhausted money, strength, ever hope, and yet, when by faith she touched him, she felt that she was made whole, and she was. And even though she had an element of fear, she was still made whole, and Jesus commended her. Yes, she was afraid to kind of give her testimony. But Jesus said, why, listen, somebody touch me. And it's all right. You don't have to be afraid. He was so kind to her. Why, he said, you can just go now.
your faith has been rewarded. Now then, 21, faith is man's extremity and God's opportunity. I mean, when you can do it yourself, you don't need faith. And it's not worth doing anyhow. And it won't honor God because it's just man-made. It's a work of the flesh, and the flesh cannot please God. And so he said, faith is man's extremity and God's opportunity. Faith works better when the last straw of human help has been exhausted. When Jacob was shut up to faith at Jabbok, he came out with a victory. I tell you, he wrestled that night, didn't he? And he'd already played out and got crippled up. And he said, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you now because I can't outrun him. I'm crippled. I can't outsmart him and so forth. And he's got me overpowered, and a bunch of men. And here I am in a terrible fix, oh Lord. Just going to cast all my confidence in God. And so, number 22, it's life extension cord. Faith is. Hezekiah, you know, had the death sentence passed on him. And the preacher, the greatest preacher of his day, came and told him, said, well, Hezekiah, school's out. I mean, it's all over. You can set your house in order now because you're going to die and not live. And so Hezekiah prayed after the undertaker had knocked on the door. And God gave him 15 more years. Amen. Why, just think of the people that's alive today that the doctor pronounced terminal, and yet they're alive today. God did come, didn't he? And so faith can give you an extension cord to your life. Do you need it? Do you want it? What would you do if you got it? Huh? You'd say, well, I just live like I've been living. Well, maybe you won't get it then. But I believe I'd live a little different, don't you? I'd do my best, wouldn't you? I mean, just to help somebody else come to Christ. Faith is the authority of God. The centurion cried out, speak the word only, and he should be healed. That's authority, brother. That's what faith is. I mean, faith moves with the authority of God. Faith is the mixture that makes the gospel effective. Hebrews 4:2. He said it was mixed with faith in them that heard it. And if it's not mixed with faith, then it won't do any good. And so faith is something else. It's the storm stopper. Jesus said, peace, be still. And the waves lay down, and like obedient and trained dogs, didn't it? After 14 days of abstinence, Paul stood on the wind and on the windswept deck, and rain swept that old deck, and he said, it's going to be all right. How do you know? Well, I believe God. Angels came to see me last night, and of course you couldn't tell night from day because it'd been dark so long. I mean, you talk about a storm. Number 26, faith is man resting and God working. Hebrews, he said, they that have entered into his rest, amen, entered into his rest, have ceased from their own labor. Brother, you don't do anything, you just rest. Oh no, God uses you, I know that, but the thing is, you don't get the work done, he does. And so you just rest and God works, and praise him while he does. And then, now he may use your body, may use your hands, your voice, and your heart, your love, but number 27, faith is receiving. Why, he said, believe that you have it, you shall receive it. Mark 11:24. You see, first of all, you've got to believe. And then you receive. Now, you don't receive before you believe. If you did, it wouldn't be faith at all. Now, 28, faith is giving A-double-L. You remember the little boy came to hear Jesus, brought his lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And I don't believe that he would have given his whole lunch away, or maybe any of it, before he heard Jesus. But after he heard the Savior speak, he gladly offered it all. You know what's wrong with a lot of us? We haven't heard him yet. Number 29, faith is God in action on the battlefield, winning every battle and making real what Christ made possible. That's right. Faith never shuns the battlefield. Faith never does fear the foe. Now, number 30, and this is the last one. Faith is complete surrender, demonstrated by Jesus on the cross. I mean, denied by Peter, forsaken by his own, betrayed by Judas, heaven's gates closed in his face, with the angels silent, his telephone line to the Father's house clipped, deserted by the Holy Spirit, and yet he said, it's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Do you remember the story of the little girl on the mission field that pled with the missionary to let her go live with her in her home, to which the missionary said, "Honey, I don't have the provisions to take care of you. Let's just pray and believe that someone from the homeland will send provisions." And when the missionary had gone back across the hills to the little neighbor village where she lived, she found a letter with a check sufficient to take care of another little girl. She said to one of her converts, a faithful servant, "Will you go back across those hills and find that little girl and bring her?" Her prayers had been answered. In a few moments, the servant had left. And then in just a few more moments, he was back with the little girl holding to his hand. The missionary said to the little girl, "Honey, how did you get here so quick?" And she said, "Well, Miss Missionary, I knew that if you prayed, and I prayed, and we both believed, I might as well get on my way. And so I did." Brother, that's childlike faith. But it worked, didn't it? If you'd been living when Christ was on earth and had met the Savior kind, what would you have asked him to do for you, supposing you were completely blind? The child considered and then replied, "I expect that without doubt I'd have asked for a dog and with a collar and chain to lead me daily about." And how often, Gus, in our faithless prayers, we acknowledge with shame and surprise we've only asked for a dog and a chain when we might have had opened eyes. I'm asking you, where's your faith? How is your faith? And Jesus said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Can you hear Jesus asking his disciples all of these questions? He said, "Fellas, get your faith fixed. Get your faith fixed. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' it shall remove. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." In this day when much of the work of God looks wilted and Christianity looks awfully pale, it's no time to retreat, but a time to retrench and retread and rewind. And even though we must be living in the days of the final apostasy, where faith has faded into form and lost its fire, yet I believe there can be something genuine when Jesus comes again, with Jesus interceding above and the Holy Spirit indwelling and abiding in our heart. There is no excuse or reason for failure. I keep hearing that song, "The thing that you've prayed for is on its way and paid for, so hold on a little longer." And yet I've come to the place where I've had to confess to God that I couldn't hold on. He'd have to hold me on. And my faith is unswerving and unwavering. I'm fully persuaded that what he has promised he's able to perform. Romans 4:21. Now let me bear personal testimony that I trust and pray will encourage God's people. My life of faith began one Wednesday night as I lay a very sick young man in the hall of that old ranch house in Navarre County in Central Texas, and about 10 o'clock said, "Lord, if you're calling me to preach, I'll preach." And God gave me a real taste of peaceful sleep that I'd not had known in months. The times seemed impossible, and after staying out of school a year, after high school graduation, picking cotton in West Texas, 50 cents a hundred, I went off to Baylor University, taking my old milk cow to milk from a boarding room, and I had to guarantee 3 gallons a day. That is a step of faith. My body was sick. One of the outstanding doctors in Waco, dear old Dr. K. Ainsworth, recommended that I beat it back to the farm. However, my real ministry of faith did not begin until about 16 years ago, when I began to take the Bible literally and believe that it meant what it said for today. It is about that time I started reading it through each year on my knees and started believing God for my physical needs. We went on a 250-watt station and got kicked off a few months later because we preached against liquor traffic. But the next day we went on a 50,000-watt station, still on it today, twice a day, 45 minutes a day. Our church building burned down, known as the Park Avenue Baptist Church, 6 months after we'd been in Corpus Christi. And through much pressure and misunderstanding, we purchased the Furman Avenue site for $55,000 and built the Second Baptist Church. There was a big corner of the property that belonged to the Sinclair Refining Company. And we were hoping at a later date to get that when one morning my men came to the study and said they started drilling holes for a Sinclair service station on the corner of our property, suggesting it was too late to do anything. I said, "Let's pray." After prayer, I called New York City and asked for Mr. Harris Sinclair's office and told him how disappointed we were and how much we had desired to have that property. And at 11 o'clock, the men walked off the job just 1 hour later. And we bought another piece of property for $15,000 and prayed even with them for the property for which they'd asked $22,000. That was a real answer from heaven, and that's faith. The old Park Avenue site that I was sincerely holding and hoping for a day school was sold one night while I was speaking at another church in town when the deacons met. When I went back to the deacon meeting, it was over. One of the deacons told me that he knew I would be disappointed, but that the property was sold because they needed the money. The property consists of 150 feet on Park Avenue, 250 on King Street, with two houses, a two-story garage, and a nice building we call the Brotherhood Building. It sold for $15,000. But the next fall, which was 13 years ago, and that's 29 now, of course, right at 30, through the kindness of dear Dr. Logan, who's with the Lord, we fixed up the old Brotherhood Building and started a Christian day school with a kindergarten, and first grade, and over a period of years, bought all that property and built a big brick building over 100 feet long, which has housed the school and the Enterprises offices. It all seemed like a dream, and yet, simply a work of faith and labor of love. Now, I tell you, so many things have happened. Oh, listen, my soul has been blessed, and I've been encouraged, and I feel like saying, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and he shall be recompensed him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Yes, and I faced the most horrible crisis, if you could call it that, I've ever faced in my life. And yet I hear him saying, hold the fort, for I'm coming. Jesus, signal still. Just wave the answer back to heaven by thy grace. We will. Will you help us? Will you stand with us and share with us? And then let's fight on. Will you do that, our Father? Finish the message today. We thank thee for your wonderful love and mercy. Lord, I marvel at thy faithfulness. I'm ashamed that I have not been faithful like I ought to be. But Lord, I do love thee, and I want to be more faithful than I've ever been. God bless this series of messages on faith, and help us, Lord, to know that one of these days we're going to meet in the land where we won't have to go by faith. Our faith will turn into sight, and we'll be with the Savior. So bless the many friends in Jesus' name.